project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Company. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
We don't love to change the world. All right, here we go. Got my microphone rocking and rolling. Mark Haney here, and I am on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. That's what the Haney Biz Project is all about. Entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. And I am the entrepreneur next door. Just good old Marky from down on the block. Sometimes a business coach, sometimes a sounding board, sometimes a strategic investor. But just like 7-Eleven, I am always open for helping you ambitious entrepreneurs, business owners, to realize your dreams. Yes, it's one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, and that conversation begins with a simple question. Marcus, you know what that question is?
I think it goes something like, are you hanging or banging?
Are you hanging or are you banging? I am here with Marcus Haney and Caroline Gaines. Now, Marcus, why don't you define what that means takes it out of context?
Absolutely. Hanging or banging. If you're hanging, that's all good. Everybody likes kicking back and relaxing. But if you're on a mission, you have to be at your very best, at your very best opportunity. Like my guy Barry Broom from GSAC says, face down in the blood.
Yeah, you got to be going for it. How you doing today, Caroline?
I'm banging, Martini.
All right. Well, today we are talking about living the dream. I walked into Starbucks this morning. I said, hey, how's it going? Good, Mark. How you doing? And the guy said, you know, Mark, I'm living the dream. And I thought, that is awesome. And he is the best at Starbucks.
All
Noah
right.
And Nate over there take care of me. But Caroline, you are chasing some big dreams of your own. What do the dreams of Caroline Gaines look like in building your business?
Yes, I am, Mark. You know, for me, it all has to do with people and working together. I'm building a PR and sales company, and it goes back to your saying the power of with. So a lot of companies, yeah, I've noticed that, you know, they may have a sales team, but they could always use some more sales and more PR.
With someone like Caroline Gaines on your side, with someone like Marcus Haney on your side, you are more than twice as strong. You are like five times as strong.
Absolutely.
Marcus, how about you? What's your dream in building your business these days?
Well, my business, I look at this thing and I want to have a veteran entrepreneurial movement. Really something that I can build an entrepreneurial platform for my veteran buddies that helps reduce the suicide rate that veterans have throughout the world. And, you know, I told my buddies and when I was in the Marine Corps that I was always by their side and I always keep my commitments.
Yeah, and I think you really aren't at your best if you don't have a dream. Am I right, Caroline?
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark, you've really been there. You've done that. You've met success and established a lot. Some things that some people will never meet. So now you're coming back with a different dream.
We are definitely on a
Tell
mission.
Us about that.
Well, I will share this a little bit later in the show. We're about entrepreneurs, helping the next guy in line, helping others to chase their dream. And if they succeed, then we succeed in helping ignite an entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. I will talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, you know, my dream really began about 32 years ago. And I have to say to my wife at this moment, happy anniversary, baby.
Oh, way to go, Dad.
Hi, Marcus. You know, I've had this show for a couple of years. We were on a separate station, and I have sang to my wife. I have embarrassed myself in many ways trying to let my wife know just how much she means to you. And, you know, 32 years ago, people say, Mark, how did you, you know, survive that thing 32 years? And it hasn't been easy, but we had a pact early on. The pact was that she would make all the little decisions and I would make all the big decisions. The sad part is, in 32 years, there's been no big decisions.
It
worked out so far for me, but you know what? In business, in order to chase our dream, a big part of that is rallying around the right resources, getting the funding. We gotta have the cash. And sometimes that comes from our customers. Well, it always comes from our customers. But sometimes we go out to banks, we go out to investors, because we gotta have that cash in order to ignite our dreams. You know, it might be to start a company, to launch a business, you need that seed capital. Other times it's to scale a company. You wanna figure out a way to get big. But in the end, all successful companies need that fuel to fuel their confidence, so that they have the courage. And with that cash, that courage is available to you. Because, you know, when we run out of that courage, when we run it out of that cash, it's like running out of oxygen, Marcus. That can be very, very uncomfortable for
what
I
do.
It is not a good situation.
Right?
You know what? There's no problem more sales won't fix. I always fall back on my thing. But you know what? This show is about learning. It's about helping the next guy in line. And the best way to learn about business, or most things in life, is by getting in the fight. Like Mike Tyson said, right? You remember Mike Tyson?
No doubt.
Yeah. He said, everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth, right? You got to get in the fight. But the second best way to learn is by talking to one of those who have been there, done that, by extracting the firsthand experience of the person who's actually been in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Let's face it, we need other entrepreneurs to help us win. In many cases, it's people like today's guests that can help us to achieve our dreams. And just a quick story about my dreams. You know, it's my anniversary, and my wife woke up yesterday morning, and she said that she had had a dream. And she said, Mark, I had this dream that you got me a diamond cross necklace for our anniversary. And then she said, Mark, what do you think that dream means? And I'm like, well, how about this? I tell you tomorrow. So guess what I got her for our anniversary?
A brand new album.
A book. No, a book about chasing her dreams and what her dreams mean.
I love it.
Later in the show, we will go backstage with Steve Swan. Steve is the man that has raised money, built businesses at an incredible rate, and his incredible success all began with a dream. But coming up after the break, we will meet a man that helps provide the investment capital that amplifies the courage for business owners in achieving their vision. Get ready to meet Mr. Jose Blanco, managing partner of the Central Valley Fund. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. This is the Haney Biz Project. Brought to you courtesy of Kim Silvers HR. If you have employees, you also face an ever-changing compliance responsibility. Do not go it alone. Call Kim Silvers HR. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Jose Blanco, founder and managing partner of the Central Valley Fund. How you doing, Jose?
I'm doing excellent, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you for coming down. I know you have a lot of big stuff, a lot of irons in the fire. I look forward to hearing as much as we can about the Central Valley Fund. But let's get to know Jose Blanco a little bit. How did you end up starting the fund back several years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, the idea started with another partner of mine. He was from the Central Valley. We're both living in the Bay Area, working in a sort of a dot-com startup and that sort of thing, raising capital. And we were kind of concerned with the whole notion of the whole internet and this non-revenue generating, non-cash flow businesses.
Yeah.
And he said, no, the Valley, starting from Sacramento all the way on down, have these nice traditional operating businesses that need capital. There are no funds out there. You know, let's explore the idea. So that started in 99, 2000. It wasn't after the sort of dot-com thing kind of exploded.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem there.
It was tough to raise a fund, but we finally got a fund raised in 2005 with CalPERS and a bunch of banks.
Okay.
First fund in 2005, $55 million. Second fund, $120 million, 2012.
And I think that's when you and I met originally. We hadn't talked over this last several years, but I think I met you back when I was building some video security distributorship businesses, and you guys were just getting your CalPERS money and launching. So talk to us about now. What does the business look like today?
Well, the fund currently, right now, we launched our third fund. It'll be about $175 million.
Wow, that's a big fund.
And we're looking to deploy at least.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking to deploy at least half of that. Sort of like, again, Sacramento, San Joaquin Valley, traditional businesses, sort of non-tech oriented. In other words, later stake tech companies are fine, but sort of the early stage, you know, semiconductor software development is sort of not us.
Right.
But later stage businesses that are looking for some additional capital or, you know, they need to generational change.
Okay. Maybe to take out the existing owners, take out mom and dad, so young children can come in, and or the up and comers.
Yeah, or support third party buyers looking to buy the business from a legacy owner, and
right,
because the kids don't want to run it. You know, the kids became a dentist, doctor, school teacher, but don't want to run the manufacturing business.
Right. Now we were talking about entrepreneurial dreams early on, and those dreams look so different. What do you run into out there when you're talking to family businesses and they're trying to raise additional money to grow? What do those dreams look like?
You know, as you know, it's all about the entrepreneur and ability to sort of cobble together sort of a business plan for themselves. So, again, we probably look at a couple hundred opportunities a year. We maybe do 2% of those.
Gotcha, yeah.
So there's probably, even to get into that pipeline, I would say they're all good ideas. You know, but from the there to the execution, where they can kind of really looks like a business that people can sort of derive economic returns, it's tough.
Yes. So you are very, very selective. What do you look for? What do those 2% look like? What characteristics do they have?
First, and sort of the character. You know,
okay,
the
character of the founder, the owner.
Yeah. So is it someone that is okay having a partner?
Okay.
Does he?
Because you guys could be a little bit invasive at times, can't you, as an investor?
No, we're good guys. We're good guys.
I've had a few private equity partners.
No,
I've heard sometimes you guys are invasive.
Those are
or
the other
invasive,
guys.
Excuse me.
Those are the other guys.
Okay.
No, but again, all of those, and you'll see hopefully when you talk with one of our colleagues that the idea is to try to develop a sort of a roadmap that we're all willing to sort of live with and understand the outcomes and kind of like have a plan for what the company's going to look like 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road. That's probably part of the vision is, okay, what do we want this thing to look like?
Right.
3, 4, 5 years down the road, how do we deploy the capital?
You're looking for something that has growth potential, right? In order for you to exit that investment, it's got to become a lot more valuable.
That's right. That's right. And also we're looking for someone that has or interested in execution. You know, it could be a great sector that's going to grow a lot. But there's those entrepreneurs that sometimes take a good business and turn it into a lousy opportunity, and people that turn in a so-so opportunity into a great business.
Right. How do you when you talk to an entrepreneur, you're judging his ability to scale a company, and sometimes these entrepreneurs have never done that before. So in the case of somebody who's never done it before, how do you determine their attributes for leadership and growing these companies?
And that's part of the discussion, right? So if we think, gee whiz, this company's doing $3 million in revenue or $5 million in revenue, and it looks like a nice business, and you say, gee whiz, you know, given the sort of the profile and the background of the individuals, it looks like they can get it to 10.
Right.
But beyond 10, they maybe need other resources and other members of the management team, maybe outside family members, to
right,
help them get from the 10 to the 20 to the 10 to the 50.
Okay, so you're looking for people who are open-minded to taking some business planning advice from you guys.
Yeah, they may need we need to hire a couple people.
Right,
you know,
right.
We may need to open up another location. You know,
mm-hmm.
Maybe someone other than the family member needs to be, you know, in charge of, you know, purchasing. And so the things that I think the roadmap was what I referred to before is just if we want to go from 3 to 20, you know, we all on the same page to make sure we can pull this off. And
Where do you find a scalable company? So some companies you only get 2% that you like well enough to invest in. How do you find those 200 opportunities?
Yeah, so we try to do as much. We have a lot of business conferences. We connect with all the commercial banks because many times it's the bank that tells the company, gee whiz, the company comes looking for $5 million in capital. The bank says, I can do 2.
Right.
Given the collateral and what your personal balance sheet looks like, it says, well, I need 5. And they need a sort of what they call a junior capital partner, someone other than the bank,
mm-hmm.
to help them finance the opportunity. And so the bank will call us up, and, you know, we have about 20 banks that will be our investors in the current fund. And so they'll give us a call and says, hey, will you talk to, you know, Mark? He's got this great opportunity, that sort of thing. He's, you know, about half the capital between us and the bank can do it. Are you interested?
Yeah, and sometimes you take an equity investment. Sometimes it's some kind of mezz financing.
That's right.
Is there something that's typical for Central Valley?
You know, everybody would prefer not to give up any equity and do it with all debt. Sometimes that doesn't just work. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
the company just needs equity. They can't support the debt. You know, so I think we try to find a balance. We'd always kind of give, you know, we try to put as much debt as possible that's comfortably the company can support. But if it needs equity, it he needs equity.
Yeah, yeah. So just thinking, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of an entrepreneur looking for this investment. Are you, is Sacramento region, is that a place where you can find great companies to invest in? Or do you have, you said up and down the valley, and I know you have an office in San Diego as well.
That's right. I mean, California is a very robust economy, you know, despite some of the regulatory headwinds. But it's a very robust economy. So I, out of the 24 deals we've done 21 in California.
Oh, okay.
We've done maybe 10 within 2 or 3 hours of Sacramento, you know, either Sacramento Metro or down to Stockton or a place like that. So it's very vibrant. And we've done maybe half a dozen deals right in the Sacramento metro area, which have been great. They've turned out actually to be a very profitable opportunity.
Any success stories right here in Sacramento?
We invested in Bonnie Plumbing when the Bonnies were running Bonnie Plumbing about 10 years ago.
Nice.
Great operators, wonderful company, good leaders. And it was an honor to work with the Bonnies. And we worked with.
Thank you for silencing your cell phone, Jose.
Sorry about that. That was my.
That was
bad.
Some good music. I'm like, oh, we got some new theme music coming on. That actually sounded pretty good.
Not as good as Revolution.
We only have a minute left, so yeah, the Bonnie Plumbing story is awesome. We've had Alan Crick, the one of the guys that's on the new management team of Bonnie. But yeah, that's such a success story in the Bonnies. From what I hear and from what they look like, they seem like the nicest people in the world.
Yeah, they sort of that's like the sort of prototypical story of everyone that sort of did it right. You know, they're very good people, treated their employees great, great to the community, participated, really wanted their customers to be extremely happy with them. So part of their success story when we looked at the company was the proportion of repeat customers.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have 10,000 customers in a year, whatever, is needing their services, that next year, right, maybe 6,000 to 7,000, right, would be, would have that Bonnie Plumbing magnet refrigerator.
So advice to you entrepreneurs, get those repeat customers. That is so important. Any other closing thoughts, advice to entrepreneurs as they think about taking on investment capital from a fund like your fund, Jose?
I mean, they should also do their due diligence on the funds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's, you mentioned before some, you know, situations that have been bumpy, but there are a lot of guys that are great operators.
Yes.
With a lot of success stories, and it becomes a very much a win-win for everybody to the extent the entrepreneur is willing to work and benefit from the experiences and the company building experiences that the private equity fund has had.
Mm-hmm.
And the private equity fund has a history of respecting and working closely
and adding value. A lot of times the right private equity partner could actually add value with the right connections to customers, to key management. They can provide it in a way that really helps you to realize your dream. Jose, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I know this kind of flew by, but awesome guest, and we love what you're doing for our community because the right investment capital into these small businesses, these medium-sized businesses, can make all the difference for economic growth, job growth right here in our region. And today I am joined by Steve Swan, founder and CEO of Valley Healthcare. How you doing, Steve?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, your good friends call you Swanee. Can I call you Swanee?
Absolutely.
I love it. I'm in the
good
club.
Good company now.
All right. Okay, so tell us about Valley Healthcare and the dream of Valley Healthcare.
Sure. Well, Valley Healthcare is a travel nurse company. We've been around for about 15 years. We've headquartered in Sacramento. I've always been in Sacramento. We're locally grown and grown up in Sacramento.
Yes, yes. You're a Christian Brothers guy.
I'm a Christian Brothers guy. That's right. Outside of that, I think what we do unique at Valley is we're an IT-enabled company, an innovative company for travel nursing.
Okay.
We do a little bit more than place nurses. We take advantage of technology in order to do it very effectively and efficiently.
Sometimes our dreams or our visions, they change. When you launched the company, you weren't focused on the health side of things. Tell us about the initial dream and how you you looked to pivot.
Yep, sure. We had another company that was focused on IT development, professional services, mostly on the IBM platform. We were doing a lot of development for hospitals, and with the IT implosion in 2001, there was a necessary pivot.
Yeah.
But it was very serendipitous. We were lucky to have the convergence of one opportunity sort of dwindle and another one present itself.
Nice.
And that was healthcare staffing.
How painful was that IT the dot-com crash for you guys? Because it sounds like you pivoted pretty quickly.
We did pretty quickly. We had a lot of business with the state at the time.
Okay.
So that did make it hurt. They They turned off all of their financing just literally overnight. We went from Friday to Monday with half the size of our company that we had when we left on Friday. Yeah, so
some people think building businesses is easy and it's all fun and vacations and all that. But sometimes it's like half the staff,
half the revenue, and you have to, when you talk about pivot, you're really making decisions that are difficult for everybody. All the stakeholders are, it's a challenge, and it certainly makes you learn as an entrepreneur.
So the company now is focused on the healthcare side of things, and it's nurses, and it's traveling nurses.
That's right.
But you're the type of guy that that has to differentiate your product, which your product is the nurse. How is your offering different than, let's say, your competitors?
So we can do something a lot faster. There are two facets that make us better than the other choice. One, we take care of our people like they're going to be with us forever. We have the best benefits, the best 401k, we match 5%. PTO, sick time, gym memberships, all the things that you would find in a full-time job is also available to our travel nurses.
Okay.
We also, I mentioned earlier that we innovate. We can do things faster than anybody out there. So when an order comes up, and let's say it's a hospital in New Hampshire and it's 2 in the morning on a Sunday, if we've got a nurse that was interested in New Hampshire and we've got her information, we can submit her instantaneously as that order comes up.
Okay.
So being with us, they're going to be first in line. If they're with somebody else, they may wait until 9 a.m. after coffee talk and before they sit down, and we're 2 days ahead of
them. So your technology gets the nurse placed quicker, so you're more likely to get the order, to get the patient served on time, so that, because I can imagine that if a hospital is short-staffed, that could be a tremendous problem for that hospital.
Yes, both from a clinical side and economically. They're paying somebody to take care of the patients, and the patients may not necessarily be getting the best care for somebody who's been on the shift for 14 hours.
Yeah.
So we're helping a wide variety of stakeholders there, particularly the patient.
And I'm picturing myself as a nurse. What a cool job. You want to travel somewhere. Let's say I want to go to San Diego. I'd like to work the next 6 months in San Diego. Or you pick some place else on the map and that seems cool. Maybe a family member lives somewhere. You can choose that and just go do a six-month stint.
Absolutely. Generally, our assignments are 13 weeks in length, but the hospitals most often want the nurse to extend for another 13 weeks, making it a six-month assignment at minimum. And you're right. They go from Hawaii to Denver to Scottsdale to Fort Lauderdale. It's a pretty good gig.
And they make great money doing it. And with all the benefits of having a regular job, you talked about 401k, and I think you pay for gym memberships and things like that.
Exactly. So formerly it wasn't an alternative. It is today. Formerly it was just strictly on pay, and the agencies were treating their nurses just like temp staff. And anymore, we have to be an attractive second option and the best option, fundamentally.
And how important was your tech background? Obviously, your product, you get to market quicker because of your technology. What kind of differences have you already seen that making?
Tremendous. Because I think when you can leverage the technology skills and apply it to a real-world problem, which we have, and you know, in healthcare, things don't necessarily change unless they're litigated or legislated. So we are trying to be the one that's the innovator to make it better. And you think about that hospital that needs a nurse quickly. Why wouldn't they use Valley? Because we can get them a nurse much faster than anybody else. So what we've done is we've examined all the best products that are out there, innovated any bridges we've needed to get them all to talk to each other. And it's been a whirlwind this past year.
Well, you talked to me earlier about a cultural renaissance, and I wonder what that means in terms of, I mean, I walked into your office and you have a cool vibe, but when you say renaissance, that makes me think that it was a major change, right? A rebirth. You changed something big. What happened to cause this renaissance?
It was. So we didn't pay a lot of attention to people, to be very plain. We had, since 2002, when we formalized the company, it was we had a certain compression in labor market and labor availability, and we were hiring who was available rather than who was necessarily the right person for our team.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped, figured out what are we all about, what's our noble cause, what makes us tick, what are our virtues, and then started to identify the ideal team players that fit that. And it's an extensive process to get hired at Valley. Formerly was show up, interview, and that's it.
Yeah.
And now it takes quite some time to make sure that they are the right one for us and we're the right match for them, too.
Yeah, and that's got to make working in your office way more fun than it used to be.
That is true.
I mean, it seemed fun. We were walking through there the other day, and it was almost like a tech company kind of atmosphere.
Yeah,
Open floor plan.
Yeah, I have an absolute blast going to the office, and I struggle to even call it work.
Yeah.
We have such a good time with each other. I'm surrounded by the very best people, and it just makes it great.
Throw yourself into something you love, and you never work a day in your life, and you have somebody you love. Well, I think you love everybody on your team, but you work with your wife. How is that working out for you?
Yeah, about 3 feet away.
Oh, really?
She's within arm's reach
of
me.
Whose decision was that for her to be 3 feet away? Is that your decision or is that her decision?
Probably the rest of the team. Let's put them on the outside here.
I see how it is.
But she's great. She's a cornerstone of the office. She tackles, we call her our Bill Miller. She's our utility infielder. She does anything from client experience to compliance.
That's a Giants reference, right?
It is a Giants reference.
San Francisco Giants, yes.
And she does it with a smile. She's the energy of the office, and everybody learns a lot from her, including me.
One of the interview questions that you ask is something along the lines of, what was the hardest you worked at something and you didn't get it? I'm going to ask you that question. What's the hardest you've worked at something and it didn't happen? You didn't get it.
I would say playing sports in high school, working as hard as you could in the off season and not getting a starting position.
Oh.
And you have two choices. You can sit there and have a pity party, or you can work harder and support the person that's in front of you.
It's amazing how lessons learned on the ball field, they transfer to building a business. Have you seen that?
Sing a brother. It was one of the things we ask. You know, if you've been part of a team, and it doesn't necessarily have to be athletics. Name a time you were part of a team and describe what your role was within that team. Were you the leader? Were you a support? What things did you do to ensure that the team was successful? So it's not just being on the team. It's what are you contributing to make sure that your buddy to your left and your buddy to your right are successful too.
You bet. Now, you're a family business. Your son is home from Berkeley, and he's joined. You see him staying in the family footsteps, or
that's a good question. Maybe he's a computer science major, it's in his blood. It's in his DNA. He's actually at the office now. He's helping us as part of his summer work, earning off all the debt that he's incurred over the past 20 years.
Yes, good for
him.
But
doing a very, very good job. He's very exact and precise in the way he works, and he's got a very strong work ethic.
So who do you look up to most? You have your team. I know you have a strong philosophical belief. Where did that come from, and who do you look up to most today?
That's a good question. This is going to be sort of odd, but I really look up to the people that I work with. They are the inspiration. Everybody works really hard. They work hard for each other. So I can't put it on one single person, but I would say that we've got a pretty awesome workforce at Valley.
So just that last question, we're kind of running out of time here. So advice to up-and-coming entrepreneurs that want to scale their business. You guys have grown very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
You took on some investment of sorts with Jose Blanco's group, in fact. Any advice to entrepreneurs about how to, you know, chasing their dream and having confidence to chase their dream, as well as bringing in an investor? Is that just advice along those lines?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you want to do. First of all, do something unique and be innovative. Don't be, I'm entering that market because I see other people are making money. You will be one of the lemmings. Do something better than the last person. And fundamentally, first, learn a skill. I do see some younger entrepreneurs just want to get into entrepreneurship for the sake of being an entrepreneur.
Right.
But haven't really developed any of the skill sets to make them unique.
Go get your 10,000 hours.
Yes,
or whatever
exactly.
The number is. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Go get your 10,000 hours and be the best at something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make it so people want you. And then with respect to taking on investment capital, I think it just all depends upon timing. We were with a great organization, DCA Capital, that you know.
You bet.
It was the right time for
us.
And we went to another fund with Central Valley Fund as DCA exited their horizon. And it depends what you want to do. You want to grow organically, inorganically. Is it working capital you're looking for? Is it R&D? It really is going to depend on where you are in that life cycle.
Yeah, so don't just take on the money if you don't need it.
Absolutely.
You've got to have a reason. Your reason, obviously, is going to grow. I mean, in terms of looking out to the future, you guys have had tremendous growth. What do you see for the foreseeable future in terms of growth?
We will be doubling in size multiple times here in the next several years. So it's we have built, with the marketing and sales funnel that we have built, it is today it's us keeping up.
Wow.
It's not us seeking, it's us reeling in.
Doubling in size every couple of years right here in Sacramento, launching a business that goes all over the country. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Steve, and definitely
pleasure.
Want to thank Jose Blanco for joining us. And I'm Mark Haney, and today I am back with the lovely and talented Caroline Gaines and the motivated marine entrepreneur, the marine entrepreneur,
wow.
Marcus Haney.
I like that.
How you got? Wow. Okay. Caroline, Marcus, takeaways from today. We've got some great guests. Jose and Steve shared their wisdom, shared their experience.
Yeah, something I noticed right away with Steve and his business was how many people win with his business. So
yeah.
He brings a nurse on staff to a hospital. The hospital wins. The nurse wins.
Yeah.
His business wins. It's a winning solution.
Steve wins. Even the investor wins.
And
the
nurse wins. And I love a winning situation.
That happens. Thank you, Caroline. Marcus, any takeaways
well,
today?
Well, it fired me up to hear Jose talk about having such a large fund that is investing in later stage growth companies like a supply company or a manufacturing company. A lot of times we see tech investors, which
sure.
Focus only on those startup tech guys.
Yeah, because it's okay for a supply guy, a marine type guy, to have a big dream, right?
No doubt. I mean, I got a couple big dreams that I'm trying to fulfill, so maybe, Valley will help me out at some point.
Yeah. You know what? Thinking about dreams, I told you guys that I would share some of my dreams a little later in the show regarding family, friends, and community. I shared my big dream, which is about my wife, but that led to really my family dream. And when I suggest to people that they consider what their big dream is, consider their vision, I like to see somebody put a picture to that, put something in their mind.
Mm.
And what's it, my vision of my family is really, it's one of my favorite dreams, and it's of me playing, I'm like 80 years old in my dream, and I'm playing catch with these little kids, and like in the backyard somewhere, and I have to imagine that I am throwing batting practice to my great-grandchildren. And so, what do I do about that dream? I go to CrossFit. I try to stay in shape. I try to go counterclockwise, year-over-year improvement. It does not always work for me, but you know what? I have to chase that dream because it's probably the most important dream that I have.
Let's get real. You don't just go to CrossFit. You were number 26 in your age bracket in the state of California, right?
21, I think.
Oh, yes. There you go.
I'm kidding. But my friends, I also have my second, I'd say one of my other favorite dreams is really I have this recurring dream. And if I ever can't sleep at night, I think about this. I'm in my backyard, and there's a group of tables with 100 entrepreneurs in my backyard with their spouses and their significant others, and I'm addressing them up on the stage, up on my deck, and we're talking to them about how great we are and how great we're gonna be. And as I look into their audience, I see familiar faces. The faces of people I know. They're my business partners, they're my best friends, and we're growing a dream together. But I think the other dream that I begin to think about now that we've launched this show is about entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. I am the entrepreneur next door. I am good friends with my good buddy Tom Candris, who he's a guy that I can bounce ideas off of, and vice versa. And you know what? We can share our dream together. It's not embarrassing to talk about the real-world struggles that I might have in business. And it's not bragging if he wants to tell me about the cool things that are happening in his business. This is entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, peer-to-peer, sharing the real-world life stories that occur every day in building a business. And that makes me think about this entrepreneurial revolution, right? There's so many businesses out there that do not have a Tom Candris living next door to them. But they need to find that Tom Candris. That's what the show is all about. Find your Tom Candris. Find that entrepreneur next door. And you know what? You can build a thriving business as well. And we would not be doing that without the help of our sponsors. And I'm going to turn it over to Caroline Gaines to kind of share some thoughts about who we're most appreciative of on today's show. And, I mean, it's really the entire entrepreneurial community. But are there some specific people you want to mention, Caroline?
Yes, our heroes for this entrepreneurial show that make all of this happen. So Audi of Rockland wanted to do a shout-out specifically to them. Right now they have all new 2018 Q5s and all new 2018 Audi A5 Sportback.
And if you are an entrepreneur, you need to have at least two Audis. I have two. Well, my wife has two Audis, right?
There
so
we, go.
We got them from Audi of Rockland. They take good care of you over there.
Luke Smith.
And yeah, and you know what? You got to have at least one Audi.
You
two, two's cool
one.
Though if you really get it going on.
Now, is there a deal you have going on with anybody who's interested in getting
actually,
an Audi?
There is, because if you're an entrepreneur or you are married to an entrepreneur, somebody in the family needs a car from Rockland Audi, and if you come over to visit me, I'm across the street. We'll go up to my office. We'll pull out the whiteboard. We'll do some strategic planning. We'll drink a cold beverage. Then we'll walk across the street. We'll test drive a Rockland Audi. We'll get you fixed up with Luke Smith and get you a great deal on a car.
Yes.
Come see me on in Rockland on Granite Drive.
Yes, and check us out at HaneyBiz.com and stop in and say hello. We want to meet you.
No doubt. No doubt. And if you want more Mark Haney, some of you do not want more Mark Haney. Where should they you go to HaneyBiz.com? But what about social media? Are we doing anything on social media, Marcus?
We're doing a little bit. I think we're all over Facebook. LinkedIn is where we're really connecting to our business community out there. So if you're on LinkedIn, we share all our content there. Make sure you look us up in Mark Haney, Haney Biz at Facebook, and love to connect with you. Love to answer any questions or connect you with anybody that's been on our show as well. So if you go to HaneyBiz.com and see the folks who have been on our show previously, that's what we're all about here is hooking you entrepreneurs up out there with our friends.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney, and today we've been talking about big dreams. And I remember as a kid asking my mom, Mom, are we rich? And she'd always tell me the same thing. Mark, we're rich in love. And I never knew what that meant until later I realized it meant, no, we are not rich, Mark. I guess I should have known that because we had the railroad tracks running through our backyard, kind of a giveaway. But my brother Paul and I, we laid in bed at night and we dreamt about a better life. We dreamt about, I would always say that I was going to be a pro football player, have a big house, circular driveway, swimming pool, and a hot wife. And you know, Paul would always try to be the topper. He'd be, Mark, I'm gonna be a pro football player, big house, circular driveway, swimming pool, hot wife, and a hot maid. And he always would top me. We achieved all that, everything except the pro football thing, you know, several years ago. And now it's about helping the next guy in line. We want to help each of the entrepreneurs out there, or anybody that's listening, help you to realize your dream. And you don't have to do it through entrepreneurship, but so many times you hear people saying, well, I'm not sure what my dream is. Marcus, you ever talk to people and they're not sure what they want to do, not sure where they're going in life?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm at the age where a lot of folks are like that. A lot of people are, hey, I don't know what my dream is, and I don't know what my passion is. I don't have anything in front of me that really sounds exciting, and I think that's a challenge for a lot of people, you know, even outside my age bracket.
Yeah. How about you, Caroline? I mean, you're a young person.
Yeah.
People, what do they want to be when they grow up? Do they know yet?
I think people my age are still figuring it out.
Yeah.
So maybe trying different jobs and different industries. But I think a gift that you have, Mark, is helping people figure out what they love to do and what they're good at.
Well, the one thing that's happened to me is my dream has changed over and over. You know, maybe three or four times in my life, I've had to pivot, much like Steve Swan had to pivot.
Right.
There's times when your dream needs to change. You know, your current program, it comes to an expiration time, and you've got to pivot. And when I meet an entrepreneur, when I meet somebody who doesn't know quite what they want to do, I always think, think about a win story. If there's something that you're good at, maybe you ought to lean toward how you felt when you had that big win in your life and how that felt, and maybe migrate into that direction. But you know what? If you do not have a dream, the one thing that I would suggest is go be around somebody with a dream. Go put people in your life that have dreams, and you know what? sometimes that stuff kind of rubs off on you. And eliminate the people in their lives that doubt your dream, that maybe discourage you. So ditch the doubters and put people in your life that inspire you, that you would like to emulate. And guess what? That's when the magic happens. When you lose yourself in something you love, on a project you love, on a team that you love, that's when something special can continue to happen. And for me, I'm at the new frontier of my life, right? It's all about having a good time. You know, we built the businesses, we sold them, built a few more, did some other things, and now we're at that new time in our life where, which, you know what? Let's chase some new dreams. And but it hasn't always been easy, right? We built our company, sold them, and I still remember it was the best of times, but it was the worst of times. Very interesting thing. You know, I sold the companies and I hung on and we helped them. My old company got bought by private equity two or three times. It's now a multi-billion dollar company. But along the way, I lost my passion. I lost my spot on the team, if you will. Huh. And I decided to start over again and help others create their entrepreneurial dream. And I created a mission statement. And for a lot of people, a mission statement, they're just words, right? You know, a mission statement, sometimes for some people, it's kind of like wetting your pants, right? It feels nice and warm, but it doesn't do anything. So, but for me, my mission statement has always been, those words are meaningful. It's about my family, my friends, and the community, and it's the opportunity. And as they succeed, I succeed. And I think as I pivoted from video stores, right, there's a lot of people that were in the video store business that went out of business. We pivoted to video security, and from video security, I'm pivoting to the entrepreneurial revolution and building a bunch of other small businesses and helping other small businesses to chase their dreams. So my billion-dollar dream is back. It looks a little bit different. It involves a number of entrepreneurs. And as I think about Sacramento, right, and where we stack up in California and where California stacks up in the nation, I mean, I think it's time for Sacramento to consider a pivot, Sacramento to develop a new dream, not that government town that we once thought was the way we ought to be. Maybe we can be that entrepreneurial town, right? That's my dream for Sacramento. May we all share a Sacramento salute to entrepreneurship, to the entrepreneurial revolution, the leaders of hometown patriotism like Jose Blanco and Steve Swan, to the thousands of fighting the good fight for freedom, and to the 13 stripes, and to the 50 stars, and to the one big American dream that is always worth fighting for. Yours. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.